to Season 3 of the Reach Next Generation podcast. I am Grace Jeffries, and I'm thinking about my future. To help me with this, I'm speaking with successful women to get an understanding of the challenges they have faced throughout their careers, how they overcame them, and what tips they have for girls of my age. Today my guest is Jinka Fadina, who is Head of Audit, Retail Shared Experience, and Digital Transformation and Everyday Banking at NatWest Group. Jinka also sits on the Banking on Racial Equality Task Force and is Global Co-Chair of the Multicultural Network. Thanks for joining me today, Jinka. Can we start by you telling us all how your career took you to NatWest?
Hi, Grace. Thank you so much for having me. I feel really privileged to be part of your podcast. So how did I end up in NatWest? So it's quite funny. This is my second stint, slightly longer stint in NatWest. But when I first graduated from university, I didn't get onto a graduate program, or I didn't have one ready for me once I finished. So I heard that lots of the banks were recruiting in their branch network. So I was a NatWest customer and I thought, why not try? So I joined NatWest in a branch and I stayed for a little while, but it really wasn't the career that I had studied for. So I studied business information technology at university. So when I found a job that was more aligned to technology, I left NatWest in the branch and I went to pursue a role of IT help desk. I then ended up working in an organisation, a financial services organisation, doing IT auditing. And then I worked in a few banks. And then I found an opportunity to come back to NatWest. At the time, it was RBS. And one of the reasons why I joined RBS at that time in their internal audit function was really because I'd heard it's a great place to work. And for a woman like myself who has got four children, it was really important for me to work somewhere where I was able to have a good work-life balance, so be able to pursue my career but in spend time be able to spend quality time with my family. I was a bit apprehensive. I thought, is this really true? You know, is it really a great place to work, or is that just what they say to entice people in? Luckily for me, I knew people that was currently working in the internal audit function, and so I was able to do a bit of research and ask them some very direct questions, maybe the questions you wouldn't ask in an interview, and they said it was. So I gave it a go, and out of all of the organisations that I've worked for, I've actually, NatWest is the longest organisation that I've worked for. So I feel like it is a great place to work, and it's definitely somewhere where I've been able to pursue my career aspirations as well as look after my young family.
Well, it's all very interesting, your career path. So when you were at school, did you know what you wanted to do or be, or did that happen maybe a little bit more later in life?
So I didn't know what I wanted to do particularly. I went through the rounds of I wanted to be a teacher. And then I sort of thought about the subjects that I really liked. And at the time it was maths. And then I still wasn't really set on a particular career, but I knew that I wanted to go to university. I knew that I wanted a career. And then it was only later on, I would say, once I started working in as an IT help desk assistant and I was working for a university, there were some courses that specifically were around IT auditing. And initially I thought, auditing, that's accounting, you know, that's not me, that's not really what I want to do. I really want to focus on the technology now. I know I want to do something in the technology space. And then when I started looking at the course content for that master's, it was like, oh no, actually, this is quite IT based. This is something that sort of translates the business to the technology and kind of, you know, looks at both angles. And it allowed me to have that inquisitive mind, to ask questions, to understand processes quite rapidly. So once I did my master's, I knew that this was the industry that I really wanted to be in. But I would say, yeah, the 12-year-old me would never have dreamed of a career in, you know, in auditing or within banking, because I wanted to be a teacher.
Well, I know you went to London Metropolitan. How important do you think it actually is to go to university, though?
So I think it's different for every individual. So for me, I really wanted to go to university. I'm the youngest of five, and my immediate older sister, there's quite a big gap between us, but I remember her going off to university when I was just finishing primary school. And I remember we dropped her off and you know, on a Monday morning, the teacher would ask, "So how was your weekend? What did you get up to?" And I remember being very proud of saying that my sister had gone off to university. And I remember all of my friends looking at me like, "What are you talking about? What's university?" So I always knew I wanted to study at university. But I would say that there's lots of different paths that you can go. There's not one road that leads to having a successful career. So my manager, who I work with at the moment, she didn't go to university. She started at the bank as an apprentice. And now she's an executive in the bank. So, you know, I think it's what's important to you as an individual, what you really enjoy. And also, you know, like I've just explained, whatever you think is your path now doesn't necessarily mean that is what you're going to end up with. But I think what is good is to have a long-term goal in your mind. Yeah. Of this is what I want to achieve, and giving yourself a time frame to achieve it. But again, not being harsh on yourself, because sometimes you might go down a slightly different path. Yeah. And that's okay. So that path might change. So it's about being flexible, but also being quite goal driven and, you know, thinking about what you really want to aspire to do.
Well, after spending some time in banking and auditing, what advice would you give to someone who was looking to work in banking?
So I would try and find somebody that works in banking, and then, you know, write down all of those questions that you have in your head. I often hear young people say to me, "Oh, you can only work in banking if you're good at maths." That is definitely not true. There's lots of different career paths in banking. You know, from working in the branch, to being an economist, to being in innovation and building systems that support our customers. So there's so many different paths. If you're more creative, if you're a people person, there's probably a role that you could do within the bank that doesn't involve maths at all. But of course, there are lots of roles where maths would be an important part of your role. But I think it's really about trying to find those different paths. So if you know somebody that works in banking, you know, quizzing them, asking questions about what they do. If you don't know somebody that works in banking, then there's a lot of organisations at the moment that have like mentoring programmes, work experiences, so you get to an insight of what it's like to be within a bank.
Well, as part of our Reach Next Generation summits, we look at diversity and opportunity for young girls from the minority communities. Do you think that we are seeing a more inclusive society since the Black Lives Matter conversation started?
I think that we are, but I still think we have quite a way to go. So I think that the unfortunate death of George Floyd brought to light, you know, how far away we are from having that diverse and inclusive culture, especially when you look at all the different layers within society and organisations. even say just breaks down to ethnicity, I would say from a gender perspective, you know, we are still quite away from where is the optimum of where we should be. But I think what Black Lives Matter did was create a platform for people to have those uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
And I think raising that awareness, because there are some people that wasn't aware, or because it wasn't something that was in their, wasn't their lived experience, they didn't understand how bad the issues were. Of yeah. course, they understood the benefits of it, but maybe not so much how much it was still a challenge or a barrier for certain parts of society. And I think Black Lives Matter really brought that to the forefront. And so I think we are starting to, at least in my organisation, I would say, we are starting to turn the corner on yeah. really seeing progress. And I think, you know, there are still some people on that journey who are still in the discovery and understanding phase. And there are still some people on that journey, because of their own lived experiences, feel like we're not moving fast enough. But I think what I'm quite positive about is that we are moving in the right direction. Yeah. And I hope as time goes on, it will, that momentum will increase.
Well, talking about moving in the right direction, the world is changing so much and so quickly. What do you think Work for Women might look like in 10 years' time?
So I think that it will be a completely different environment. So if you take my organisation, we have a female CEO, and she is the only female CEO in the banking industry in the UK. And then we also have, quite uniquely, a female CFO, and we also have a female executive for HR. So, you know, we haven't got quite 50-50 balance at yeah. the most senior table within NatWest, but we have, you know, women at the, right at the heart of the helm for our organisation, which is unique. But I think, you know, that won't be the case forever. I think, you know, there's lots of focus, there's lots of programs, and there's lots of opportunities. So, you know, there are women in the organization now that are maybe at the senior layer. And I think in the next 10 to 20 years, they will break through. So we won't be, you know, the outlier, but we will be, it will be the norm, I think.
I hope so too. Now, throughout your career, have you had any mentors, or have there been anyone that you particularly admire?
So I would say that at my early career, I didn't have mentors. So I was, I didn't really understand, you know, the value of a mentor. And I didn't really know how to get one. But then I would say since I've been at NatWest, I have really advocated for the importance of mentors, because I think it's really important. And I think at the early stage, as soon as possible that you can get a mentor, that you're really going to benefit from that, because potentially it's somebody that's already walked your path. It's a few steps ahead of you and can give you some advice. Some of those unwritten rules that nobody cares to tell you about, they may be able to unlock those for you. And sometimes when you're feeling doubtful about a particular situation, having a mentor and discussing those concerns that you have can really ease your peace of mind and how you think about things and how you approach things. So I think having a mentor as soon as you can is very important. And again, you may be able to use your own network, you know, asking your parents, do they know anybody that would be suitable in the career path that you're thinking about? Equally, it may be an informal mentor. So that could be an older person at school, it could be an older sister, an older brother, and you know, they're also programs, you know, that from your school's perspective they may be running and for you to get involved in. But I think as soon as you can, you should approach to have a mentor, because I think the benefits are endless.
Now, what tips would you give girls when they start to think about their careers and their future paths?
So in terms of advice that I would give, I would say that, you know, go with what you enjoy and what you're passionate about, because even on those days where you're having to read lots of information or attend a boring meeting, if it's a topic that you're personally passionate about, that will carry you through. And I think, you know, it's really about making sure that you don't have to have a fixed path. So yeah, you might be really passionate about something today. You may try it and then you may realise, well, actually, it's not that great. And I wouldn't encourage you to just abandon it straight away. I would encourage you to persevere and see if it's really something that you're interested in. But equally, you know, if you've tried it in many different aspects and it's, and you don't feel that it's really you, or you've grown out of it, or you've changed, you know, we talk about in our industry about being agile. And I think, you know, even in your career path, you can think about being agile around that. You don't have to have one fixed idea and then carry that through. But I think the key thing is that passion. What drives you? What are you interested in? And how that's really going to help push you to achieve those goals.
Well, obviously, we've all been hit by COVID, with things just beginning to feel normal again. How have you had to deal with the COVID-19 issues, both in your work life and your personal life?
Yeah, so COVID, you know, kind of came at us like from nowhere, really. And if somebody had said to me in 2019, you know, the world's going to shut down, we're all going to be working from home, you know, we're not going to be allowed to go out or socialise with family or friends, I would say that sounds pretty far-fetched and that wouldn't happen. Yeah. So I think from a personal perspective, it was good and bad. So I had been, you know, working 5 days a week, you know, rushing around, doing lots of things with my children, in terms of like activities and clubs. So I really felt pretty rushed off my feet. So when COVID happened, it was almost like a pause that I had to take, that I, you know, I didn't have a choice in, but it was a needed pause. And it allowed me to spend more time in my home with my family. So that was really great. But then for my extended family, I wasn't able to see them as much as I would have wanted to. So again, you know, we had to think of innovative ways to still connect with each other. So we used things like Zoom. You know, there's a couple of COVID birthdays, which meant we had to have Zoom parties instead of meeting personally. So, you know, there were some downsides to it. But I think the positive for me from a personal perspective was taking that pause and really valuing the time that I could spend with my immediate family. Yeah. From a personal perspective, from a career perspective, you know, everything changed from, you know, spending the majority of your time in the office, working with people, traveling into the office, to, we'll actually have to work from home. So for the first part of the first lockdown, I was in the middle of my living room with my laptop, you know, and that was my office. And so because it had to be done pretty quickly, and I never envisaged that it would last as long as it did. Yeah. So I just thought, oh, this is going to be temporary. It's not going to be for that long. And I think from an organisation perspective, we were able to move so quickly into the working from home model, it almost challenged how we do things. Why do we do the things the way that we do? And we can do things differently and we can get it right, you know, in a short space of time. So it's been challenging. It's been sad. It's also been fun. It's been interesting. And it's, I think it's really pushed the boundaries of everybody that's had to go through COVID.
Mm. Well, finally, I know you are nominated for the Women for Africa 2022 Career Women of the Year Award. Is this the first award you've been nominated for?
So it's not the first award I've been nominated for. So in 2019, I was nominated for Workplace Hero in the Investing in Ethnicity Awards. I think I got down to the top 10. So I didn't quite win the award, but I definitely got nominated. And it was quite inspiring to be nominated by my colleagues. So that was lovely. For this award at the moment, so again, I'm down to the last three finalists, which is a very proud moment for me. And I actually don't know who nominated me. So one, I think it's one of my work colleagues who nominated me. So it's quite nice to know that the work that I do with not just my immediate team, but with colleagues across the organisation is really valued, and people enjoy, you know, the work that I do and what I'm trying to do in order to change what we do for our colleagues, customers and communities.
Well, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, Yinka. Thank you so much. And I'm sure everyone listening will now be thinking about some of the choices they're about to make in their careers. Keep listening to the Reach Next Generation podcasts as I talk to many more brilliant women. For more information about us, visit reachnextgeneration.com. And thank you to Levi Strauss, Ideal Standard, Sage PLC and Haynes Watts for their fantastic support.